Welcome to Tech Chat number 9. Number 9. I can't help it, all you Beatles fans. You understand it, right? We are number 9 and very excited about it. Back from CSUN, did 32 interviews, which you can hear one of two ways right now. If you're a member of SAMNet, you can go into the Information Center. Two ways you can listen to them right now before they're made available around the middle of April. One, you can, if you haven't done so, create an account, a SAMNet account, by going to satogo.com. That's satogo.com. Create a username and password. Get you an account set up, and you can try all of our services for 30 days, including the great socializer and voice chat that we're using right here to do this podcast. But if you don't feel inclined to go that far, you can do it via listening to SAMNet Radio. And I'm going to give it a shortcut. You can either go to radio.samobile.net, and it's kind of a weird page. It's what they require us as our launch page to listen. And go down to a link that says Winamp, and then you can click on that, or either save it to your local hard drive so you have what's called that .pls file, the playlist to listen to SAMNet Radio. It's 128K music. I guess as far as a musical format, it's what you might call classic hits right now. We're expanding it, but we're making some changes from our original format to accommodate requests from listeners. Right now, we're playing two songs and then an interview from CSUN, another two songs interview, and doing that. So if you listen for about 6 hours, you can hear all of the great interviews that we did, and we try to get the best quality possible. It is a little bit of a challenge in a very busy room like that. The 11th podcast coming out this Monday will be the first of two parts where we will focus on some of the highlights, what we thought were maybe some of the most interesting interviews. And then part two, that podcast will come out 2 weeks from this Monday, whatever that falls on. I think something like the 13th. Go listen to SAMNet Radio or sign up for an account, or existing members go into the Information Center and there's a link to CSUN 2009. You can hear all 32 interviews that we did. Jeffrey, if you want to give your impressions of CSUN, what did you observe and what did you find interesting at the event this year? Did anything really grab your attention?
Sure, actually. I would say the one unit that actually surprised me was the iPal Solo from a company called ABC. It's a little OCR appliance, but the speed at which that thing recognizes text and its hand-free operation was a little bit of a surprise, considering sort of past experiences in that area.
Yeah, for folks who don't know, it's A-B-I-S-E-E is the way they spell A-B-C, A-B-I-S-E-E, I believe that's .com. MaxiAIDS, they did quite an extensive demo, and Barry over there gave a pretty comprehensive overview of many different products that they're offering, so we're going to put that in this Monday's upcoming podcast. Another big one was my interview with Solutions Radio. They have the Iris, which is a talking Wi-Fi radio. Get a version for $299, or if you need wireless, if you don't want to have it tethered to a router, have it in the bedroom or somewhere. $349 is the price on that, with 5,000 radio stations, 85 U.S. newspapers. I think there's about 35 different reading services from around the world, thousands of podcasts and church services, thousands of them from Sermon Audio. Check that out at solutionsradio.com. We spoke with HumanWare. Two different interviews, one actually about their Orator accessible solution for the Blackberries, at least certain models, the Blackberry Curves, and then the forthcoming Victor Reader, which I understand the software is coming out this Monday, version 3.0. But our actual topic tonight is online reading resources. A lot of the links I'm not going to present in this show. I'm going to challenge people to go and read the show notes. I will be updating a tutorial. Matt Campbell did a great tutorial, but I want to update it and highlight some of the new features that are in 3.0 and show folks how to use that. So look for that in the help section. SAMobile.net. Extended folder, so you can really categorize your content. If you've got books, you can categorize them by author. Music, you can separate it like by albums. Each album can be its own folder, or you can have groups in their own folder. So it gives you a lot greater capabilities to sort your content that you have and make use of those 8, 16, 32 gigabyte cards. They're also going to have both voices, the Samantha and Tom voice, in one installation so that you don't have to keep toggling back and forth. You just hit the 7 key. Two other big announcements. If you listen to last podcast number 10, what we want to do is start a network where we want to link to other podcasts, not totally, but many of the people are also blind and visually impaired, and they link to us and we link to them, so we cross-promote each other's works, and that way each of us in turn ends up with more listeners. New people find out about the podcasts that we do. And we already have our first two members to the family of stations, as Casey Kasem would say. We want to welcome two new members to our family of stations, in this case, family of podcasts. the infamous Dale Campbell, a great show called Cooking in the Dark. We'll have a link to that. You can listen to all his great tips on cooking. It's a very interesting show. Dale, a very personable guy, and we're very excited to be working with him to both promote his show. So if you need some ideas for the kitchen, Dale has them for you. And I think you can even send him suggestions if there's something certain you've always wanted to know how to cook. Maybe he'll do that for you. And the other one I think is going to be a pretty good show is called All Things Radio. And the website for that right now, they may get some other domains, but right now is legend-oldies.com. And they just did their second podcast. It's about 50 minutes. All kinds of cool stuff. They have, they start out with some kind of an intro of what they're going to do in the podcast. They have some radio news done by Jeff Bennett in Albany, New York. Find out about the latest going on, the latest stations to unfortunately go silent, meaning they went off the air due to lack of money, an unfortunate stabbing of a legendary newscaster in New York, and just a lot of other news going on in the industry. Of course, Jennifer Sparks does the kind of format changes, so if you want to know just around the country what stations are switching formats or going off the air or maybe new stations coming on the air, different jingles. So if you're into radio jingles, you can check that out. They played a lot of great stuff from the 1950s. Pam's Jingles, and I forget what that stands for. They were a big production entity from early 50s up to like 1977, I think before Jam kind of stole the thunder there. They found another slightly shorter tribute that we're going to post on our network as well. It was a tribute that Gil Gross from ABC did for Paul Harvey after his death, and that was very interesting. So check it out. It's about 50 minutes. You can hear the latest two podcasts that they've done at legend-oldies.com, and proud to be partnering with them as we promote each other's work. So again, before we get started, if you have a podcast out there and you'd like us to promote it, and the only thing we ask is that you provide a link to serotalk.com, because again, it's our whole objective is to promote each other's works. My hope is that we'll end up with everything, you know, over time. Health, sports, legal information, consumer advocacy, whatever. If you're doing a podcast, by all means, let us know about it. And we'll cross-promote each other's works and spread the word. Tonight's topic is, we're talking about online reading resources. And we have a wealth of material here to talk about. There's all of the common stuff that we all know about. Audible.com, certainly, for either so much per month for one or two books, or you can pay for a whole year and get a discount and buy 24 books, audio narrated books that you choose. And that's probably the most economical way because it gets the cost down under $10 per book. And you can certainly use it for publications as well. Maybe you want to read certain things like Wall Street Journal or other publications. That's one that a lot of people are using. A lot of folks using Bookshare, which of course says books that people have scanned in themselves. Again, I'm just recapping some things that we talked about in our original podcast. Bookshare, of course, now they've gone to the zip format, so you don't have to use proprietary software for that. You just create an account, and of course, it is free for students. You do pay an annual subscription for that, which is $50 a year, $25 setup fee, and then $50 per year with thousands of books. And because individuals scan them, the neat thing is it's very timely, current information, you know, whatever people feel to be important. So that's kind of the neat thing there, is it's driven based on user interest. Anyone in the U.S. with a Victor Stream icon and certainly other technologies, you know, you have the ability to get the NLS books. And if you haven't done that, if you're just used to listening to them on the tapes, and maybe you've quit doing it because it was just kind of annoying to queue through those four-track tapes. You know, once you go digital, you don't want to go back because you just, you know, you can set your own bookmarks, you can easily move between sections, and, you know, you stop and start and you're exactly where you left off, or go read other books and come back, and, you know, it's just a great service. But that reminds me of something else I saw there, although it's not quite out yet, was the new GW Micro BookSense, which I believe they said is also going to work with the NLS and Audible. And it's interesting because what they've done, they've basically modded a cell phone to make it kind of an audio player, recorder, reader. I thought that was kind of interesting because I'm looking at it going, well, that's cool, but why don't we just go find the software for our cell phones and accomplish the same things? As far as ease of use, some people might like that design, but I thought it was very interesting, this concept of modding a cell phone. Before I go into some of the different resources beyond that I want to talk about, I want to know what you, the folks in this room, are using. Because maybe you have a wealth of resources, so instead of me talking for the whole hour, I want to learn from you. What websites are you using? Do you find some other places for audiobooks? Have you been one that, I know a few weeks ago we talked about archive.org, and there's so much material there, but you have to have that hunting spirit to kind of go and peruse through that. And a few people have emailed me links and things that they found. old-time radio shows, famous speeches, so much stuff at archive.org. It could literally keep you amused for years, but you have to have that hunter's spirit to just kind of go through there and find it. But I want to take comments from people in the room and find out what things you are using, because maybe you have things I don't have on my master list here. So again, we ask you just to key up and state your name, and then we'll call on you in turn. That way, if two or three of you have a comment, that way we can get to each of you. So go ahead and tell us what you are using online for reading, whether it's audiobooks, textbooks, or what have you.
David.
Okay, not hearing anyone else. Go ahead, David.
I know if anyone uses Kurzweil or Open Book or something like that, they show the Bain Free Library. Bain Books also has a paid service, and it's called Webscriptions. It's www.webscription.net. And yes, it is a paid service, but it's free to disabled use. So they have a link on there. Well, it's basically an article or something. And you can go to that, and it'll tell you where to go to fill out a form to prove your disability, and you have access to the whole site for free. That's including all the new books they're coming out with, plus advanced reader copy. And it's through Bain Publishing, if you're into science fiction. If I'm wanting to read a regular ebook that NLS doesn't have or that I don't want to scan or anything like that, I'll go to MobiPocket.com. Yes, they do use DRM, but at least if I set my screen reader to set for say all, I can have it read the text. So that works too.
Anyone else?
Tom?
Okay, Tom, go ahead. What are you, what resources are you using?
For local flavor, in the area where I live, one of the TV stations has a website, and that links you to not only their text-based news content, but they also have other links to the local newspapers here in this market. So you can go to, for example, read the Tampa Tribune directly from their link, and also you can read the St. Petersburg Times. In addition to that, you can go to those two specific newspaper links, of course. I also like to keep up with news back in my hometown of Dayton, Ohio, and there is a local website there called discoverdayton.com. Not necessarily of interest maybe to a lot of folks, but there are many local websites that have links to other websites that might be of interest to your particular hometown and locale that you can access.
Well, and on the subject of newspapers, a couple things to point out. A, if people aren't aware, you certainly have, doesn't have to be online. There are things like Newsline that the NFB has so that you can listen to newspapers over your telephone. But if not all, at least most of those newspapers are also available at Bookshare, so you can get the newspapers there, download them either to your portable device and read them while you travel or maybe away from an internet connection or online. I guess it doesn't matter. And that foregoes the commercial so you can quickly navigate through the stories that are of interest to you. And also what a lot of people are doing now, you mentioned TV stations, is a lot of stations now, as soon as they air a story, it automatically uploads to the website. And so sometimes, to me, much more interesting than actually watching the local news is just going to look and see what stories they have available, and maybe just watching a few particular stories or listening to a few stories of interest online when it's convenient for me. So that's definitely the whole on-demand is definitely the future. But yeah, there's a lot of different portals for local news. And, of course, on the SamNet, we have what's called My Newspaper. So there are ways that you can add these sites to make your own custom newspaper that is, therefore, of all of the stories and links to things of interest to you, so that you just simply go to your newspaper and kind of get caught up daily or weekly on the news that's important to you. And, of course, if you need assistance, you can email or call our technical support and we can assist you. Or if you land on a gold mine, by all means, email yours truly, Michael Loff, at content@serotech.com. And then we can share it with everyone by plugging it in and making that available. So I want to mention those things as well. Anyone else have any great audio or text-based, or it could be video, and anything that you're using online, portals that maybe kind of go beyond the common ones that everyone knows and loves?
This is Danny.
Okay, go ahead, Danny.
Well, I remember back in the DOS-based days, I used to go to Gutenberg, and I've kind of quit going there, but I think I may start up again.
Yeah, there's Gutenberg, which, of course, is the classics. and you know, the public domain stuff. So it goes back quite a while. It's interesting. I remember in my former employment, sharing with the girls kind of their list of the top 10 books, and they were kind of, they thought, well, first they, oh, that's cool, wow, I got great stuff, free books. And then they look at the titles, you know, and they think, oh my, you know, where did this stuff come from? So definitely the classic literature thing there going on. Has anyone harnessed or tried to pull books from Google? You know, they just kind of worked out a deal with the publishers and make like about 7 million books as of now available, basically just scanning them in. So yes, even some of them have errors. I think one of the ultimate tools out there. One thing they do at Google is their staff is given 20% of their time. They're allowed to work on projects of personal interest. And a gentleman down in Louisiana in a hotel room, kind of stuck there due to 9/11, thought, man, it's really hard to find news to find out what's going on here. And he created something called Google News. And I think one of the best resources online right now is news.google.com, where you can just get all kinds of stories from all different publications. And you, of course, can put in keywords. You can subscribe to be emailed anytime certain stories have a particular word of interest to you. Like, for example, when I worked at the Better Business Bureau, I put that in there. So anytime an article was posted anywhere in the U.S. or Canada about using the words Better Business Bureau, whether it was about the organization or just referred people to use it or whatever, mentioned in any capacity, then I would be sent those stories. You know, they have the Google Alert. So if you run a company and you want to find out anytime something is being said or written about your company, whether it's a newspaper or even a Joe Blow's blog, you know, you will be notified that your company name was mentioned. And I guess it's kind of scary because you realize there's no such thing as privacy. When you type something out on the internet, it is cataloged, and that's always something to be mindful of. But it's a great way to stay on top of what's going on in your community, in your state, in your country, around the world by having Google let you know anytime certain words or phrases come up on the internet. And it's a pretty empowering resource, because now we are equal with our sighted counterparts and oftentimes ahead of the game if we know how to harness that capability. So, you know, maybe you're doing something yourself, you're doing marketing or public relations, and anytime your name is mentioned, you want to be made aware of that. Or like I said, your company. So we should probably do a whole tech chat just on Google itself. So let me add that to the list here. We'll certainly do about the power of Google. That'd be a good one. We're going to do tech chat on data backup, because I think that's very important. I recently lost just a little bit, fortunately just a one little audio segment, but just enough to remind me that you have to really be vigilant, not only software to back up your computers, but actual, you know, software that backs up the ongoing files. You know, have a copy of your operating system so that you can restore it and all your settings and your software, and, you know, register with all your keys and everything, but also just backups of all of the things you create, all of your documents and spreadsheets and email messages and all that good stuff. Did someone else have a comment?
Yeah, this is Terry Miller. I thought I heard that Google was trying to purchase Audible.
Audible is owned by Amazon, and it's a part of their big initiative to basically, they want to own the predominant owners of the publishing industry, which is why we've started. If you haven't done so, we ask anyone who hasn't to sign our petition to make the Kindle accessible, and you can find it in the Serotech Socializer, or send me an email and I'll send you a link to it's on petitiononline.com. Last check, we were at about 670 signatures. I'd like to see it hit 1,000. Either way, I'm getting ready to, in the not-too-distant future, go ahead and print it out and send it registered over there to Jeff Bezos. I've already seen a post from Amazon saying that they are going to look into the possibility of making it accessible, so they are already are aware of it. And that would be awesome, because again, it goes beyond whether the Kindle itself is accessible, just the fact that Amazon wants to be the premier publishers, that our concerns are put in there so that these books, mainstream books that everyone buys, can be accessible. In this case, we just want the menus to talk. They've already built in the ability to have the books read. Of course, now they put a caveat on that as well, that it's up to the publishers to decide. Well, no, they can lock it. So if certain books shouldn't, by their decree, be spoken aloud, that they have the right to, quote-unquote, protect the books in such a way that they're not read aloud in what's termed as public works. But anyway, not to get too confusing here, we think that's a very important initiative. We at Serotech, and are having some successes in a lot of different areas by our ultimate goal of trying to mainstream as many devices and technologies as possible so that we don't have to have proprietary devices that cost more money and oftentimes have shorter lives because there's less people actually using or purchasing those items. So another one that some people use, but you have to go through your library, is called OverDrive. And this gets you these WMA files, the Windows Media Audio files, but you have to work through certain cooperating libraries to do that. And they have a wealth of material there. So there's another way that a lot of people get audiobooks for free. And speaking of the protected WMA files, there's also the RFBD, the Recordings for Blind and Dyslexic. So there's, of course, the limitation with those. One is they cannot be used on the Victor Stream, so you're kind of tied to your PC at that point, either using the Windows Media Player, although there are some other devices and some specific software, but the Victor itself, you're not going to be able to play those protected WMA or Windows Media Audio files. So, but I want to see if anyone has any other resources. And if not, I certainly hope you will go to our serotalk.com show notes and we're going to put, there's just so many links, and to really go through and just mention, I mean, there's like at least 50 links, so that way you can look through them in turn, choose the ones that are of interest to you, and take the time, and then maybe, you know, a few months down the road, we'll do another one, and you can come back and go, hey, I looked through all those, and here's the one or two that I think are just it. Are you opposed to paying? Do you think that you should never pay for material? Or if so, what is there a certain price point? How much would you pay? Or does it depend on what kind of materials are available to you? What factors you use in deciding what devices you buy?
Mike in St. Louis.
Yes, Mr. Mike.
I think it is critical that we, I mean, the Victor Reader is a great device, and I'm sure the BookSense is going to be good too, and these companies should be commended for that. But I think it is imperative that we support when companies do make mainstream products accessible. I think it's imperative that we support that and purchase those when we can.
This is Danny.
Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, very quickly, I just wanted to echo that. And if I had known that the Shuffle would have been out, Talking Shuffle, I might have held off buying a Victor and bought, say, if there was a Shuffle that held 16 gigs, I would have gladly bought that.
The iPod Shuffle, it seems like it's nice enough. I mean, I don't have it or anything. I do have a Victor. And the thing is, the iPod Shuffle can't play the NLS books. So right now, the Victor suits me better.
Yes, I just wanted to make a general comment regarding Audible. I mean, I'm an avid Audible user simply because what's important to me is that the individual reading the book, how well they do it, their presentation is about as important as the actual title. That's the way I feel about it, and I don't mind paying money for it. I bought 60 books in the last year, and I've enjoyed them all.
I'm curious, are there any particular genres or types of books that you like?
No, I'm a nonfiction, biographical, historical, some science fiction. I'm just very picky about what I want to invest a lot of reading time, because some of those are like 60 hours. Les Miserables was over about 66 hours, and it was done very well. But nobody, there's a lot of people who would find that boring.
Well, and I kind of look, sometimes I look at things for like 1 or 2 hours. I'm like, why, this is the same price as something that's 8, 12, or 16 hours. And I kind of feel like, am I being ripped there? Or is it quality over quantity that if maybe it's a shorter composition, shorter audio narration, but is actually more relevant and to the point and gives specific tips and bits of information that I may need to get things done. But I'm just curious, any other websites that people are using or audio resources? And maybe for that matter, any of you harnessing your local libraries?
Jeffrey.
Go ahead, Jeffrey.
I was just going to quickly say that I was introduced to a resource from a Twitter friend of mine called Podiobooks, which I had never heard of, but basically you use a podcatcher and you subscribe to an audiobook, and they release it every over a certain period of time, so you get a chapter every now and then. You can subscribe to more than one book at once. The other thing I was going to quickly mention was I think RSS and podcatching is kind of the biggest resources for getting material in an audio form. I get most of my news through a RSS feed, a really simple syndication feed.
Of course, you can add RSS feeds to your either Internet Explorer or Firefox, but, of course, we have the podcast section on Samnet, and if there's any podcasts that we don't have, by all means, send us an email and say, hey, here's a great podcast, you know, consider go adding it, and we will add the RSS feed to that. And someone brought up a point, sent me an email last night when I posted tonight's topic, so I want to address this. He said, yeah, you've got Blind Cool Tech, but your podcasts only go back a certain point, like to December or something. So I want to talk about that and understand that we can, upon request, dig a little deeper into a website, but generally we point to the RSS feed so that we're going to have the same materials available that anyone else would if they used a podcatcher. If there's a particular site that you like, in this case, use the example of blindcooltech.com, that you may want to make note of that website and go to that website because you might find things that for some reason were no longer being picked up by the RSS reader. So again, how do you get RSS feeds? You know, like I said, you can do it through your browsers or you can use standalone client podcatchers that will grab it. A real popular one in Windows is called Juice. In the Nokia phones, in the S60 format for the Symbian phones, simply called Podcast, and it works great. Some say it even works better than iTunes and for certain feeds. The reason that people use iTunes, whether for the Windows or the Macintosh, is that that's one of the big things is you can go in there and subscribe to the podcasts and get things from CNN or National Public Radio or CBS 60 Minutes so that you can get all these different news sources. So whether you want just podcasts or you want actual news, another service if you don't mind paying, and this is questionable, but it is supported by the EFF, there's a service called Easy News, and basically what they do is a powerful resource out there are news groups, and you have to be a little more savvy to kind of, and patient too, to install a news reader and look through those and find some of the different things that are posted. But I mean, you have music, you have audiobooks, you have concerts, you know, TV shows, anything you could imagine filters its way through there. But the power of Easy News is that you pay them a monthly fee, but they're archiving things for about 6 months, anywhere from 100 to 200 days. So generally, on a news group, this stuff is only out there for a few days. So if you see it, you better grab it right away. So this Easy News gives you the ability to go and say, okay, I want this, this, and this. I want these audiobooks, or I want these music groups from the 70s or the 60s or the 50s, and you subscribe to the groups you're interested in. Pick the things you want, it adds it to an archive manager, makes a big zip file. You download the zip file and you don't have to wait as you might if you were just plowing through the news groups individually. So if you don't mind spending money and have the patience to look through there, there is a wealth. There's terabytes. So much material to make your head spin. And if there's particular things you're interested in and just can't find them, that's certainly a service you can think about trying for a month or so and seeing if it's worth it, either $9.95 or $20 gig or $14.95 for 30 gig or I think $29.95 if you get 150 gig a month if you're just so inclined. And of course it carries over, so if you don't use it in 1 month it does roll over to the next. So there's something you can certainly play with if you're so inclined. But I'm curious if any of you are using any other podcatcher software beyond Juice or iTunes in the Windows domain.
Tom?
Go ahead.
I'm a big YouTube fan. YouTube is a great resource not only for entertainment but for picking up on things that are kind of off the wall. I use it to keep up with friends of mine who are pastors of various churches around the country, and they put their church services or their sermon excerpts or news and events of what's going on in their area, they put that up on YouTube. Also, I go there for certain interest groups as well. There's a couple of great tutorials about police scanner radios and tutorials on how to operate them, things like that.
That's a good point. Our media search right now is using YouTube, so go to youtube.com. We also have an accessible page, not that YouTube in and of itself isn't accessible, but you can go into our TV section, and what that page does is it makes the player in YouTube more accessible. So it's a real simple page. You type in what you're looking for, the results come up, and you click on something, and there is a player where you can play and pause and stop and raise and lower the volume. So it makes that player more accessible. So that's kind of nice. And of course, if you just, in the main screen of the SA Mobile Network, you can go down and search. And you can either search our network or search YouTube. And there's just, like Tom said, there's just so much material there. My son has put videos up on YouTube. He's into skateboarding, and they've done different things where they show tricks and different moves that they make and competitions and a lot of things. So whatever you're, I've seen people put up their children's, you know, ice skating competitions, everything, news, like how-to tutorials. Great way if you want to learn about something. By all means, yeah, YouTube is a great resource, even with all the materials that have been removed per the request of the authors and the creators of it. I know when Google first bought it, I mean, there was all kinds of full-length TV shows, and a lot of that stuff had to be removed. But now they're going back and making it legal and legit and getting permission and the rights from the companies. But also on that, if you're into the TV shows, there's Hulu, which is available in the States, HULU.com. So that, again, is more full-length, specifically for TV shows. But yes, YouTube, a great resource. Thanks for mentioning that one, Tom. Anyone else, any other resources? Or I'm curious if anyone uses any other specific software for retrieving. I know some people even had software that can take YouTube and download them. And a lot of people use Clango, and they can download and save those files. Or there was a YouTube to MP3 converter that you would point it to the feed, and it would at least just extract the audio portion of that, so you had a much smaller file, but you actually had a copy of that on your own hard drive.
I have a question there, Mike, YouTube accessible through SA. You say you go to the SA search for YouTube. Is that how you access the screen?
Well, that's one way, just to get a general search. The accessible I'm talking about is in the entertainment guide under TV, and it's just a special web page where that makes the player controls accessible. So either way, you can do that. If that's important for you to adjust the volume of the player or stop or, you don't need it to replay, but if you want to raise or lower the volume or pause it, that page. Otherwise, yeah, you could just use our search, and it's the same as going to YouTube.com, but you just do it right from our browser, and then it brings up the relevant search results for you.
Richard Wells?
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Richard. What kind of goodies you have tonight?
Well, I don't know if you mentioned this. I came in very late, but, you know, our newspaper, and the My Newspaper link is my personal favorite podcatcher because you can stream and download any podcast you want. And I found very few that it doesn't work on. If once you get the RSS feed, add a third-party news feed on My Newspaper and add it, and then you can only download, but you can also stream the podcast if you don't want to download it. And that way you're not filling your hard drive up with, you know, episode after episode of whatever podcast, and you can, you know, it allows you to pick and choose a little better. And so we don't have to wait for you or the folks at content@suratech.com to put your favorite podcast up. I have a lot of things, you know, a podcast that I do, like intouch.org, which is Charles Stanley's feed, Adrian Rogers at loveworthfinding.org is another one that I have. And all of mine are public, by the way, if any of you would like to peruse them. But the My Newspaper link, third-party news feed, is a great way to get your podcast.
Actually, we did mention it, but if you want to elaborate kind of on the process of adding it, finding it, how you go, say, okay, someone tells you, hey, here's a great website with an interesting podcast, and how you go get that RSS feed and plug it into your newspaper.
Yeah, basically, once you, on any website, you know, what I generally will do, and almost all of them will say podcast or RSS or something like that on the page somewhere. So the first thing I do when I open a page of interest is I'll just, you know, do a control F in the SA Mobile Network, which brings up the Find dialog. I just type the word podcast in those spaces and press enter. And if it doesn't find that, then I do a control home, get back to the top of the page, control F again, type RSS. And usually I'll find it, and then usually there'll be some sublinks under there that you'll need to navigate. But once you find a link that says, you know, you'll find like an iTunes link or you know, all the different kind of different podcatcher links or whatever. But what you want is just the generic RSS address. And basically, once you find it on the page, you just right click it, or you know, with your applications key or with Shift F10. And just down arrow to get to copy shortcut. And then what that does is copies the RSS feed address to your clipboard. Then you go back to My Newspaper, the My Newspaper link. It's number 12 on the SA Mobile. If you're not using the simplified menu interface, once you go in there, you just go to add a third-party news feed. Give it a name. First of all, first field is the name. The second field is the URL. Paste in your URL, and there's a preview button to see if it works. If you get there are not yet any links here, you know that there's something wrong with the address, and you can go back and try again. But that's just a quick overview of how to do it.
Yeah, very good resource on SAMNet, and I know a lot of people use it, and some people don't. So that's a good point of whether they don't know that it exists or aren't sure how to get started on it. So thank you for that. that insight, by all means. Sometimes the best stuff is right under our nose and right there at home. So by all means, give that a shot. As we wrap down our last few minutes, anyone have any other comments, anything you'd like to talk about as far as books, podcasts, or just online resources for texts or just information-based?
Yeah, Catherine, I would like to mention Accessible Podcatcher. It's a program for listening to podcasts. You put in a feed and then you can listen to the podcast without actually downloading it. You can just stream it.
Okay, so you have the choice then? You can just listen to it or download it? Or is it strictly just for listening?
Yeah, you have the choice. You can either download it or you can listen to it. So that's one problem with Juice. Juice only allows you to download the podcast, whereas Accessible Podcatcher will let you either listen or download.
And that's a good point, because if you use something like Juice, you can end up with hundreds of megabytes or gigabytes of shows, and then I don't have time, and then you delete them, and then you've wasted bandwidth of the companies, which you may think, well, that's no big deal, but you know, if thousands of people do that and download podcasts that they never listen to, then that adds a lot of cost to the people who create the podcasts. So do you have the website for that, Catherine?
I think it's www.webby.co.uk, I think. It's the same site where you get the accessible browser, the Webby browser, with the Thunder screen reader.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we will link to that. And maybe give that a play and see if it has any limitations to it. But yeah, thank you. That's a very good resource and a very good point that sometimes, especially at first, if you're someone, you'd find a podcast, maybe you want to listen to one or two of them and see, is this even worth archiving? And then, you know, then if you like it, yeah, great. Start downloading and saving them and putting them on your portable device and listening to it when you have time. But very, very good suggestion. Anyone else with any comments on anything before we wrap it up?
Jeffrey?
Go ahead, Jeffrey.
I was just going to quickly say that as a Canadian, I think it's important to just note that Bookshare.org does not actually allow you access to much of their material because of U.S. copyright laws, and you have to be a part of the United States. And then on the other side, the other comment I was going to make was I think the sync to and send to Victor Stream or other mobile players is a beautiful feature in the SAMnet. I mean, I listen to material at 2x or 3x the regular speed, because otherwise I'd be bored out of my skull, and being able to put that material onto the stream just makes it that much more likely that I'm going to listen to it.
Well, do you have any Canadian-specific services that you can mention for your fellow Canadians who are listening?
Well, in Canada, we have the Overdrive-type library offering, and we also have the Canadian National Institute for the Blind with the library has its own internal library, sort of similar to NLS in nature. It tends to be primarily Canadiana and a little bit antiquated in material, but it is another source of reading material, and on there you'll find BRF files, text files, MP3 audiobooks, and other material. You can even subscribe, or you can even get them to mail you a physical CD or copy of some of the material too.
Okay, finally, I'll ask: does any of you use software for converting text or web pages to synthetic speech MP3? Of course, we know the infamous Text Aloud from Next Up Technologies, but do any of you use that or other software for converting online text to something that you can take with you on a portable device?
Kenny,
go ahead, Kenny.
Yeah, I use the, you know, to convert, like, text to MP3 speech or whatever. I use, like, the Kurzweil 1000. That's pretty good.
Very good. Mentioning that that's built right into the K1000, that conversion capability. And then you can have whatever voices you have there, right? So if you like Kate or Paul or whomever, you can have them read those texts or your books or the documents that you've scanned in.
Tom. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Go ahead, Tom.
One thing that Bookshare does that might be of interest is, I'm not quite sure what the criteria is, but they offer to, I noticed that they offer to at least students and perhaps other members, but Bookshare offers read aloud to convert those files into speech.
Good point. I think that's the actual Don Johnston software, right? If I'm correct, and I spoke with them at CSUN, and certainly all of us who are paying to use Bookshare should go give a play with that, because it also converts web pages as well, I was told. So certainly as members, we should play around with Read Aloud and see its capabilities. And it's a tool available to all Bookshare users, which again, as Jeffrey points out, is kind of limited to the U.S., I think, except for the public domain stuff, the Gutenberg. And there's some stuff like that that I think you can get from other countries if you're interested in that. But good point. Certainly play around with Read Aloud. And maybe we'll come back and talk about that in the future and go through its functionality. But with that, we're going to wrap up another Tech Chat. I thank you for all the great suggestions, and please go to theactualseraltalk.com, because I have a bunch of resources that I specifically chose not to post here, because I want to drive people. I want people to start using the website, because we can always add things to it, or if something gets spoken incorrectly here, what have you, it can always be updated and amended. And we invite you to join us this Monday for Podcast 11 with Part 1 of our highlights from CSUN 2009. If you can't wait, get yourself an account, or if you're an existing user of SAMNet, go into the Information Center. You can listen to all 32 of those interviews that I had the good fortune to conduct while there last week, or listen to SAMNet Radio. And I'm going to give you the shortcut. It's streams.serotech.com/8000. So those of you just like to open up your Winamp and hit Control L and put that in there, streams.serotech.com/8000. You're ready to go. Or go to radio.samobile.net. Just click on the link that says Winamp and either start listening or save it to your local hard drive so that you don't have to keep going back to that page. Or, of course, if you're a member of SAMNet, it's all over the place in the Information Center, Entertainment Guide, in the Socializer, all over the place, so you can find it wherever it's convenient for you. And join us next week. We're going to talk about backing it up. So if you have great software for backing up your computer, we want to know about it. Tips and tricks for keeping all of your data safe and out of harm's way, whether it be viruses or failing hard drive or a big electrical surge that destroys all your data. We need to remember that hard drives and computers do not last forever. And we're going to talk next week about ways to protect our precious and valuable data. So until next week, we thank you for joining us for Tech Chat number 9. Stay connected.